Hi. it's great to see you all and welcome, Jess. It's wonderful to have you join us. Just to be here on this, it's amazing evening. If it weren't so noisy out there, I would just take you all outside because it's so beautiful. But the highway has gotten louder and louder in the last few days. Can you all hear me well? Are you sound okay? Okay, good. Good. I'm sorry I didn't get to be part of the earlier conversation about simplicity, and I'm hoping that what I'm going to explore with you now will connect in some way for those who were part of that discussion. I'd like to hang out a bit with simplicity, complexity, and the sense of journey. A life journey and a Zen practice journey. I've had more than one powerful dream about journey recently, and I've been hearing from other people about journey dreams as well. And some are full of the anxieties of the time. Some have appearances of loved ones or groups in celebration. Some have help arriving out of unexpected quarters. But in any case, a lot of journey dreams. And I've noticed in myself that in this journey, I'm for sure not traveling in a straight line. If ever there were a time when we can instantly connect with the koan that says, walk straight on a narrow mountain path with 99 turns. Seems like this is one. This is one such time. And come to think of it, it's great because is there any other possible way to walk on that path unless you're roaring drunk and just go tumbling down the mountainside? And most of us have a stronger self-preservation instinct than that. So the narrow path with 99 turns, in a way, is our instructor in a kind of walking straight. And yet, I often wake up, finding myself alive with a body in a place, in a life, and pretty quickly wonder, how do I do this? How do I even do this day? Have I got what it takes? Why can't each day be more orderly when there's no obstacle to making it orderly? And yet, each day's journey is just that day's journey, a kind of walking straight by the end of the day. And in a way, the same could be asked about my meditations. If I think they should be in some way orderly, they are not. So I'm finding that any sense of walking straight doesn't have to do with orderliness or with simplifying, or does it? So I'd like to bring a few koans into the conversation. the first one to offer itself was the one that we've sometimes taken up in this version. Excuse me. Someone said to Tsao Shan, it's said that everyone has it, but I'm so covered with the dust of the world. I'm not so sure I'm up to this. Can you help? Tsao Chan said, give me your hand. Then he pointed to the student's fingers and counted. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Enough. I've also come across a different translation that begins, everyone has brothers in the dust. Can you demonstrate this to me? Isn't that interesting? Everyone has brothers in the dust. Can you demonstrate this to me? And with the same Tsao Shan saying, let me see your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Enough. And here's, so the question I guess that rises up for me as well is, having enough or being enough a requirement? And when I feel that as a requirement, what's going on? Even if I've met the requirement, was it a requirement? And so here's another thing that Tsao Shan said. Someone asked, from old times, there's a saying, until a person has fallen down, the earth can't help her arise. What is fallen down? Tsao Shan said, it's allowing. Student asks, what is arise? Tsao Shan said, it's arise. I'll read that one again. Someone asked, from old times, there's a saying, until a person has fallen down, the earth can't help her arise. What is fallen down? Tsao Shan says, it's allowing. What is arise? It's arise. It's allowing. Allowing for what happens to us. Allowing for how we fall. If we don't allow ourselves to fall, that brittleness can be extremely hazardous, don't you think? We might find ourselves so eager to be unruffled, so eager to be at peace, that we don't allow ourselves to connect with the larger field at all. And then it can't help us. So this, too, for me, is reassurance offered. Like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, enough. Falling down all the time. Not only enough, but essential. Another way of looking at this is in another koan. Guishan asked Yangshan, suppose someone asks you out of the blue, sentient beings only have endless disorderly or karmic consciousness with no foundation to reply on. I think some of you have already been meeting this koan. How would you work with this? Suppose someone asks you out of the blue, sentient beings only have endless, disorderly consciousness with no foundation to rely on. How would you work with this? Guishan says, if a student like that came, I'd call, hey, so-and-so. When the student turned his head, I'd say, what is it? Then I'd wait while she thinks about it. And then I'd say, not only is disorderly consciousness endless, but there's no foundation to rely on. Guishan said, good. To me, this is one more piece of reassurance. What if you don't even need to try to transcend, to transform your consciousness into a prettier one, you know, on the newer and better foundation? What if there isn't any newer and better foundation that you could or need to establish? What if this is truly come as you are practice? What if this is really pajama Zen? One more prerequisite, gone. The poet Arthur Rimbaud wrote, I ended by considering my mind's disorder sacred. I ended by considering my mind's disorder sacred. Why would we want to slice it and dice it, organize and revise it? It's funny because, you know, we gripe about our minds to ourselves all the time. But actually, secretly, in your heart of hearts, don't you find it pretty amazing and cool what the mind, what your mind does? And I liked the way John Tarrant put it recently about koans. He says, a koan will change us in ways we haven't forewarned ourselves about. A koan will change us in ways we haven't forewarned ourselves about. And, you know, the koan's job is to sneak in under the radar, yeah? Find those moments when our defenses are down. If we want to allow that to happen, we have to be willing to fall down, don't we? We have to be willing to be messed with. We have to be willing to walk straight, but not in a straight line. When I was a kid, my little brother and I would occasionally do this little game. I don't know where it came from, but let me know if any of you had this too. It just went, I walk straight, so you better get out of my way. We would just do that to each other. I walk straight, so you better get out of my way. And believe me, that game never lasted very long. But here's a different sort of walking straight, yeah? And it seems much more trustworthy. It can last a little longer than that game. And here's a description of that. Qinglin was planting pine trees on Mount Dong. An old man asked him for a poem. And here's what he made. More than 3 feet long, the thick green grass. I don't know what generation will see this pine's old age. I'll read it one more time. More than 3 feet long, this thick green grass. I don't know what generation will see this pine's old age. In a way, even more poignant now, I think, than when that was said. And loving. Another way of responding, much more pedestrian, was mine. When I was asked to respond to this question in under 125 words, what belief gives you the strength to go forward each day? And what belief from your tradition? This was for the In Good Faith column, interfaith thingy. So I wrote, I believe that the world is inconceivably more intricate, beautiful, and creative than my human faculties can allow me to know. And the practices taught in my Buddhist tradition give me touchstones to help me keep reconnecting to this understanding, resting in it. When I trust in the underlying integrity of being, I can keep stepping. A Zen koan says, step by step in the dark. When your feet don't get wet, you've found the stone. My vow to be part of the human project of awakening together gives me the strength to keep stepping. And finally, I have this wonderful poem to share with you that was brought in also by John Tarrant yesterday. So to enjoy. It's called Ithaca. It's by Kavafi, Konstantin Kavafi. As you set out for Ithaca, hope your road is a long one, full of adventure, full of discovery. Laestrygonians, Cyclops, angry Poseidon, don't be afraid of them. You'll never find things like that on your way as long as you keep your thoughts raised high, as long as a rare excitement stirs your spirit and your body. Laestrygonians, Cyclops, wild Poseidon. You won't encounter them unless you bring them along inside your soul, unless your soul sets them up in front of you. Hope your road is a long one. May there be many summer mornings when, with what pleasure, what joy you enter harbors you're seeing for the first time. May you stop at Phoenician trading stations to buy fine things, mother of pearl and coral, amber and ebony, sensual perfume of every kind, as many sensual perfumes as you can. And may you visit many Egyptian cities to learn and go on learning from their scholars. Keep Ithaca always in your mind. Arriving there is what you're destined for. But don't hurry the journey at all. Better if it lasts for years, so you're old by the time you reach the island, wealthy with all you've gained on the way, not expecting Ithaca to make you rich. Ithaca gave you the marvelous journey. Without her, you wouldn't have set out. She has nothing left to give you now. And if you find her poor, Ithaca won't have fooled you. Wise as you will have become, so full of experience, you'll have understood by then what these Ithacas mean.